Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear and Save Association. I'm your host, Stel, and my guest this evening is a gentleman who has two English Championship titles to his name and a promotion with Leeds United. It's Tampa Bay Rowdies defender Neil Collins. Welcome to Shoot the Defence. Neil, thanks for joining me, mate.
Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. How's the weather like out there?
Fantastic. I just said to my wife today, the kids were out the back garden playing in the sprinkler in October. You know, it's pretty strange. Normally, if you're out the back garden in Scotland, you're getting soaked, you know, because of the pouring rain. So it makes a nice change.
Yeah, absolutely. That's your second October out there, isn't it?
Yeah. I've been here just short of 2 years, kind of roughly, like, you know, 18-19 months. So it's been really good.
Yeah. Have the kids got to grips with the trick or treating yet?
Oh yeah, they did it last year and loved it. It's unbelievable. They start planning for Halloween round about now. The houses get all the decorations up, so these things are different, but the kids love it. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, they do it big out there, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, massive.
Great stuff. Well, mate, before moving to Sunderland when you were younger, you were at Queen's Park and then Dumbarton. Now, with the greatest of respect to Dumbarton, the Mackhams are a huge club. So did you know much about Sunderland's interest at the time?
No, so what happened was, while I was at Dumbarton, I was doing well, and I knew a lot of clubs in Scotland and England were keeping a close eye on me. I actually went to Charlton on trial twice while I was at Dumbarton, and they were in the Premiership. They couldn't bring me in at the time. So I had clubs of that kind of ilk looking at me, and then it wasn't until I came out of contract and Sunderland agreed to take me on trial. So it was great when my agents told me they were willing to do that. You know, I knew how big a club it was. Just the opportunity to go there even in trial was fantastic. And then when Mick McCarthy said after the 2 week trial that he'd like to make it permanent, I was over the moon. You know, coming out of university to go and play with Sunderland was one in a million shot, and I kind of still pinch myself if that actually happens.
Yeah, that's some story, mate. Now, I know your compatriot and friend of the show, Stephen Caldwell, joined a month earlier while Kevin Carr was already there at Stadium of Light. Now, did they help you settle much?
Yeah, Stevie Caldwell was fantastic. Bearing in mind, he played my position, and he knew I wasn't coming in to necessarily compete with him straight away, so he was really helpful, and always willing to give me encouragement and tell me anything that I needed advice. And I actually played beside him in my first in a couple of games quite early on, and he was a great help. Having the kind of two Scottish lads there did help, because it just gives you that familiar voices to speak to. But just, I went to the club at a great time. There were so many really good experienced players, and then a lot of young lads, and I kind of summed my boat to myself. So it was a great balance to have.
That's right, and I believe the 2004-2005 season was pretty special for yourself, because Sunderland comfortably won the championship. It must have been a great experience.
Yeah, it was like a whirlwind, and I don't think you realise just how much of a whirlwind it was until you look back now. I mean, when I went there, I was brought in to challenge to get into the reserve team, see how I adapted to full-time football. Hopefully, my ambition at the start of the season was to try and get an appearance in the first team by the end of the year. And within 3 or 4 weeks, I'd made my first team debut. You know, I played, I think, 15 games that year, which, when you consider where I came from, and a team that went on to win the championship, was just a fantastic achievement. And we had a very good side that played a lot of good football, so it culminated in just a fantastic year.
That's right. And I know Mick McCarthy signed you for Sunderland, and he isn't one to bite his tongue, and he pretty much shoots on the hip, doesn't he? Now, if I'm not mistaken, he signed you twice, once for Sunderland and the other for Wolves. Now, what can you tell us about McCarthy's methods or even his man management style?
Well, obviously, because he signed me twice, I'm going to speak very highly of him, but I think if you look at his record in the Championship, I think you find the struggle a better manager to get you out of the Championship than Mick McCarthy. You know, he's won it twice with Sunderland and Wolves, not just been promoted but actually won the title, took Ipswich, and I think an Ipswich team that under any other manager would have been battling relegation, he took them to the playoffs. His man management is, as you said, he just tells you straight, and that's what players want to hear. And sometimes for that couple of days, you know, annoyance that you get maybe from being left out, then you appreciate it once you put it through your head, you think, right, that's fine, and you can go on with that. Some managers don't act like that, and they tell you lies or tell you one thing and then do something else. Mick doesn't do that. That's a huge thing. And the players, you ask, you know, 95% of people that play for Mick McCarthy, they would run through a brick wall for him because he's so honest. But I think one thing that does get lost in that is his teams are always very, very well organised. You know, particularly at the Championship level, he knows how to get results.
Absolutely.
And so I think that sometimes goes a wee bit unnoticed.
That's right. He's one of those safe bet managers, isn't he? You bring him in and you know what you're going to get. You look at Ipswich Town at the moment. I know they currently sit 10th in the Championship, but they're only a couple points from the playoff places. So he's not done a bad job, to be fair.
I think this is where, again, he's a victim of his own success, because he took over Ipswich when they were destined for relegation, kept them up following season, finally got them into the playoffs. Then he had a tough season last year. But I think when you look at the Championship and the standard of the teams and the players that teams like Wolves, Aston Villa, Derby, the money they're spending, to be 10th with the squad he's got and the money he's spent, that is a success for Ipswich. And as much as their fans won't like to hear that, because they're a huge club with big ambitions of getting back to the Premier League, right now that success is relative to them and what they're spending wise and what other clubs are doing.
Absolutely. Well, mate, we can add Leeds United and Sheffield United to the list of big clubs you've played for. What would you say are your fondest memories at both clubs?
Well, Leeds United, when I went there, they had been flying at the top of League One, but then had hit a real bad patch and they looked as if they were going to blow promotion. So the last game of the season, we had to beat Bristol Rovers to gain promotion. We were 1-0 down to 10 men, and I thought we were destined for the playoffs. And we came back and won 2-1, and the atmosphere at Elland Road that day was just phenomenal. It'll live with me forever. How good the fans were that day. They almost sucked the ball in the net. So that was a fantastic day. You know, as a part of my career playing for United, I enjoyed that. Was them getting back to the Championship. With regards to Sheffield United, there was a lot of disappointments because we got so close and, you know, occasions to get promoted, never quite managed it for different reasons, but there were so many high points as well, particularly the FA Cup run where we went to the semi-finals of the FA Cup, and really look back, it was an excellent achievement, but we could have went one step further to the final because we were 2-1 up at half time, but just didn't have enough petrol in the tank to get it over the line.
Absolutely. Well, mate, I know three of the four clubs you played for in the Championship occupy the top six spots. Are you confident that all three can get promoted? I know Wolves are top at the moment, Sheffield United sit third, and Leeds are in the final playoff spot.
I think there's definitely a realistic possibility. It would be great for the likes of Yorkshire to have Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds United back in the Premiership. I think all three clubs are what you describe as Premiership clubs. When you look at the Premiership and you look at some of the teams who are punching well above their weight, I think these three clubs would add something to the Premiership. I think players would enjoy going to these stadiums. I think they can do it. I think Sheffield United is going to be a huge ask to keep up the pace. But with the manager that they've got, he's working absolute wonders at the club. So I would never rule them out. I think Wolves are going to be in the top two. I think they've really settled in, you know, well with a new manager and the new players, and the calibre of players he's brought in, it's the highest order. So they're doing really well. If they come through winter, you know, strongly, I think they're going to run away with the league potentially.
And then there's Sunderland, who are second from bottom, and again, your old manager Simon Grayson is doing his level best to try and get them out of the mire. I mean, they've got some very good players for that division. You've got your Lamine Kones, you've got your Jack Rodwells, John O'Shea can probably do it, Callum McManaman. Why do you think they've had such a slump?
I think, you've named players there that have had great careers. I think I look back to the time when I arrived at Sunderland, and as I said, we had four, five, maybe six really good older professionals that had, you know, the hunger. But we added to that with players from people like places like Dumbarton, like Oxford, like Chester. You know, unknowns, but we were so hungry for success. We were so hungry to do well. And I just feel that some of these players have earned fantastic money out of Sunderland, but they just don't have that hunger to go into the Championship and really aim for promotion. I think, on top of that, I think the club need to get their identity back. I actually think Mike McCarthy was maybe the man to start steering that club back in the right direction. I think Simon Grayson will have his work cut out. So, again, it's horrible to see, but we've seen it with Wolves. You can drop straight out of the Premiership and into League One if you're not careful. I think we've got too many good players to do that, but the Championship's so strong, you would never back against it.
That's right. 46 games, a hell of a lot.
Yeah. It's such a long season. Once you... it's all about momentum, the Championship. I think once you get the momentum going, you feel confident that you can go and win games, whereas the opposite definitely happens in the Championship. If you're losing games, even no matter how good a team you've got on paper, it can be pretty tough to get back.
Yeah, that's right, mate. That's right. Well, let's talk about your current club, USL's Tampa Bay Rowdies. And I know the Rowdies have only recently joined the USL, a league we're very familiar with. Did you know much about the club and the NASL before you signed?
Funny enough, I come on holiday to Sarasota, which is a 30-minute drive from Tampa, and I'd been to watch a game the previous year, just while I was on holiday. And enjoyed it very much. It's a nice stadium, it was a good atmosphere, the pitch that the team played on was good, so I didn't know much about the rest of the league, but I knew that the Rowdies were a growing organisation, really trying to do things the right way. So it certainly appealed to me from the lifestyle point of view, and the playing side I could see was of a good enough standard that I could still enjoy it. And I've learned a lot since I've been here in terms of the other clubs, and going away from home is far different to being in England or Scotland, and that's definitely an adjustment that you have to make. But it's been a good learning curve for me.
Do you think you guys are handicapped a little bit because of the affiliate program? Because other clubs obviously have, you know, MLS clubs supporting them and loaning players out to them, whereas you guys are kind of standing on your own at the moment.
Yeah, I think in some respects that's where the league probably needs to progress, so that these affiliate clubs are probably playing in a separate division. We've played against a couple of really good ones, but we've also played against a couple that it's not really been a fair matchup. We've got really experienced, good seasoned players, and they've got, you know, younger players playing. It's not really a great matchup, and it's maybe at their home stadium where no one's going to watch the affiliate team. So on the other hand, you've got a team like Cincinnati, who's an independent team. They're getting crowds of 20,000-30,000, again, with experienced players. The more clubs they can get like that into the second tier will progress, you know, progress the game. But certainly good for these affiliate clubs to have that competition for the young players. You know, you can imagine a young midfielder coming up against a Joe Cole, Marcel Schaefer from Wolfsburg. I mean, that's invaluable experience, and probably in some ways better than some players they might face in the MSL. So, you know, it's really good from that point of view.
Mm. And what about the affiliate program with Tampa Bay United? Has that started, or is that in progress?
It is in progress, but it's just at the really, really early stages, I think. So we're just about to find out if we're going to get into the, you know, the Major League in December. And if we do get to MLS, then that will be really kicking off then. You know, our affiliate programme with TBU, that's when that will probably kick in to overdrive, and they'll start building the academy. But I think right now it's just tentative, and, you know, things have been put in place. But as I say, the big decision in December, and hopefully the club, you know, makes that step up. I think they deserve it.
Absolutely. Well, look, I know former Bristol Rovers midfielder Stuart Campbell is the head coach at the moment, but he's been at the club as a player and a member of the coaching staff since 2012. So at 39 years old, we know he's relatively young for a head coach, although I'm pretty sure he knows the league inside out.
Yeah, he does, and he's kind of held, as you said, three roles. He's a player, assistant coach, and now the head coach. He knows the league well, and I think that's one thing that I've realised in my short time here, and that you've got to adjust to the culture and the different temperaments. And he obviously knows that and he's aware of that, which is good. And he was able to keep people like me and Joe, Martin Patterson, the kind of English-based players, right in terms of what's expected here and the way they like to do things. So he's done a great job in guiding us to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. So he's learning quickly on the job, as you can see, and it's really good that the chairman's, given a lot of time, a lot of patience, and then he's seen the kind of rewards of that.
That's right. And I know one of the most well-known footballers in the USL is your teammate and the gentleman you mentioned earlier, and that's of course Joe Cole. Now, a friend of the show, Leon Knight, said on numerous occasions that Joe Cole is actually one of the best technical footballers he's actually ever seen. And that's some statement, given Leon has played alongside the likes of Zola and Luca Vialli. But in your opinion, what do you think Joe's actually brought to the club other than media attention?
Last year, I don't know if you've seen it, but he scored 2 or 3 goals
that
are the highest class. So that obviously brought me the attention, but it also brought, it kind of brought credibility to the league and credibility to the club. A player of his stature coming out here and playing to that level. He's done it again this year, he's played a lot of games, he's managed to stay fit. But if you've ever met, anyone that's ever met Joe will tell you he's such a level-headed guy. You would never think he's achieved what he's achieved. If anything, we give him more stick than some other players, and it's a sign of like you can no ego, that he can take it and laugh at himself. So he's endeared himself to the players and everyone that works at the club. So I can imagine what some of the kind of designated players in the MLS are like. They'll be hard work, they'll expect everything perfect, whereas Joe really mucks in and he's part of the team. So he's been a great player on and off the park for the club, so they've definitely had their money's worth.
And I'm sure for any young fans that support the club, that regularly attend, that see him play, he's kind of someone they can look up to. Let's be honest, all the youngsters love flair players, don't they?
Oh yeah, we live in an age where people love that, whether it be a nutmeg, a skill, something fancy, and Joe can do that in abundance. I mean, he can leave someone in his wake just for one trick or one move of his hips, so he's still got that, and he doesn't lose that. And then we've also got Marcel Schaefer, the record appearance holder for Wolfsburg. He scored a couple of unbelievable goals, so the young fans love to come and watch these guys, and it's great to play with them as well.
Fantastic. Well, mate, I know the club has reached the USL Eastern Conference quarterfinal in its first season in the league. Has it been a better season than first expected?
No, I definitely wouldn't say that. I felt that we had a really, really good playing squad. In some respects, there's slight regrets that we didn't manage to win the league. I think we threw away at least 3 games I can think of, last-minute goals to draw away from home. But all in all, we're sitting in second right now, and depending on how fixtures go tonight, we'll stay second. So I think it's been a good first season in the league. I think we've learned a lot, especially that away from home, where we had our struggles, and done really, really well at home. So again, it bodes well for next year, because I think we can build on it. And really now it's just about this, the playoff format, and seeing how we manage to cope with that.
Be one game at a time now, isn't it?
Of course, such a cliche, but very true.
true. Well, mate, what can you say about the quality of the USL compared to the Championship?
Comparable with the Championship. I think the Championship's such a strong league and such a different league. The pace it's played at, the crowds, the size of the clubs, people like Aston Villa playing in the Championship, Wolves have got players on loan from Atletico Madrid and such like. But one thing I'll say is the league below that, League One, so there is some players in that league that probably would think, right, come over here and play, and they would find it much tougher than they'd expect. There is a lot of good young players. You really need to be physically good in terms of being able to get about the park, strong. American football is on the up, despite their bad result during the week with the national team. There's a lot to be positive about for them. So it's very hard, because again, you've got to take into the climate where we play in Florida. You need to be a certain type to adapt to that heat. There's some players that struggle with that, but all in all, the standard's improving. It's improving. I think people would be pleasantly surprised if they came Some games are better than others, but I think that's the case in pretty much every week.
Absolutely. And to be honest, mate, seeing what I've seen in USL and having spoken to many people involved in that capacity within the league, it just seems that they've got the infrastructure and the youth development methods down patted in comparison to the UK. I mean, we're struggling with grassroots here, and we're finding stories about lack of investment and whatnot. Whereas in America, MLS clubs, USL clubs, they're fully focused on youth development.
Yeah, the grassroots football here still is just fantastic. Yeah. I go down to the field with my son. Any playing field round about me, and there is loads and loads of kids playing football on their own, with teams, with their mates. And you think, if you go, you know, down the road in Scotland and England, you don't see parks, public parks, getting used to people playing football. One, because of the weather, and two, just because of society. Whereas here, society is actually changing the other way. They're getting more people are playing football than ever. And I think that just, like, it bodes so well. And, you know, these clubs are actually, they're starting to pick things up and make things even better. So I do think that American fans should stay really positive, because I think in 10, 20 years, you know, it seems a long time now, it's not, and I think they're going to start producing some world-class players.
Yeah. I know there's an article in The Guardian with Doug Andreasen. I think he's the chairman of US Soccer's Diversity Task Force. He mentioned something along the lines of, you know, soccer is only affordable for white kids because of the whole pay-to-play kind of thing. Is that a bit much, or is there some truth in that, do you reckon?
I definitely think that there's truth in that. The one thing that I would say surprised me when I got here and started to understand the way things work. You know, they do need to make it more accessible and cheaper. I think back home we rely on the volunteer system, like, you know, at boys club level, and girls football. And I think they need to do more of that here with the less of the cost. I think the costs can be a lot, so you are losing a big portion of people that would play organised football. So that's something that we can definitely improve. But as I say, you can't underestimate the amount of kids that are out there playing on their own. And I do think that that's how many players learn the game that way. You know, some of the best players in the world have learned the game playing on their own with their friends. So, you know, organisation, some of the football has become too organised from my mind. So it's not a bad thing.
That's right. Well, mate, before I let you go, tell us about your website, because I see you've written a lot of blogs and you're very focused on your coaching.
I enjoy coaching. I've always seen myself get into management. That's from a really young age. I've always loved watching football and thinking about it and talking about it. So I've done a few blogs. Just enjoy writing. I enjoy, like, you know, trying to get debate and discussion going and talking about things that I like or enjoy. So it's been a great feedback from it, from my peers and from people I don't know, so that's been good. And yeah, I'm looking to just expand my coaching knowledge all the time, and the only way to do that is to get out and coach. I coach my son's team, which is hard work with 5-year-olds, but it's good fun. And just I've coached, you know, a few local kids and that, so it's been good. And I don't mind, you know, doing it at that level. I want to be involved professionally later on, but I think right now it doesn't do any harm. And the kids love it, you know, someone that's playing the professional game, you know, coming down and coaching them, so it's great for both of us.
And is coaching in the US your main target? Because obviously, you know, there are loads of coaches within the UK that are struggling, hence the reason why they come to America to coach. Is it the States the main place for you, or would you like to try it somewhere else?
I think if you ask my wife, she'll say definitely stay in the States. Look, you never know and stay what's going to happen in football. Things change. Someone might, like me signing for Sunderland, who thought that was going to happen, and it did. If something came up in the UK that really tickled my fancy, I wouldn't say no. But I see myself being in the States, hopefully Florida, and trying to start my coaching career here. That'll be as much a family decision as a personal one, but I think hopefully I can get, you know, the best of both worlds doing that. And who knows, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully I get another couple of years playing in the Rowdies first.
Great stuff. Well, Neil, thank you ever so much for your time, mate. Really, really appreciate it. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Would you like to tell our listeners your website and possibly your Twitter handle so they can get in contact?
Yeah, of course. So my blog is neilcollins.com, and that's Neil with two L's. And my Twitter handle, I think, is neilycollins3. So, thanks very much for having me on. It's been great talking to you.
Hey, good luck for the future. Good luck for the season.
Cheers, Neil.
Great stuff. Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it, mate.
No worries, mate.
Thank you very much. Well, guys, that was Neil Collins, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Hope you enjoyed this interview. It was absolutely fantastic talking to Neil, and I hope to have him on the show sometime soon. Until next time, take care.